Hello, 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 and wow, here we are. Our first podcast of Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, and thrilled to be with you. I'm Mitch Lawrence here in the Seaside Golf Capital of the World in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My partner, the one and only, the travel master, Darren Bunch, out on the left edge in Bakersfield, California. Darren, we have been talking about this for a while. Is it too ambitious for you and I to say hello, world?
I don't know if we want to go to that extreme, Mitch, but I got to tell you, I am really, really excited about our new partnership with the guys at Golf Newsnet. And I am really excited today to dive into our first topic, where you are going to take our Emergency 9 quiz, and we can get inside your head as to what is great about golf travel from your perspective.
If you eat, sleep, and breathe golf...
Sounds like my kind of guy.
...love to explore...
All right, here's what you do. You're going to call your PR guy on the phone and tell him I'm here to see him.
And most importantly, just want to have some fun...
Looks like we got ourselves an orgy here.
Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren.
Don't you think this is starting to get just a little big for the two of us to handle?
Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence.
I don't know how much you know about journalism, but... first rule of thumb is don't ever ask a question that you don't want an answer to.
And the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
It's not his fault. He's just trying not to lose his job.
Wow. How cool is that to hear again? The intro to episode number one of Talking Golf Getaways, followed by the dulcet tones of my wife, Ava. The first podcast that Darren and I did, lo, those many years ago, and kudos to Chris McEwen for starting this episode with that. Amazing. Hello, and for the 183rd time, and yes, the last time, welcome to Talking Golf Getaways. It pains me deeply in my throat. It got about to hear, and I almost couldn't say it. But it is the truth. This will be the actual final chapter, sounds like a TV movie, of Talking Golf Getaways. We will certainly get into that as we go on this recap of sorts of a fantastic journey that Darren, who's in California, later joined by Chris, who's in Chicago, and me have all had doing Talking Golf Getaways. There's a lot that's going to be said and talked about. The bottom line is that we're thrilled that whoever happens to be listening to this has joined us on that journey. And no matter what happens, this is not really the end of anything. It's just the closing of this particular chapter, I might add. Darren will be continuing on building his media empire. Chris will be building his media empire and running for president in 2028. And I will be on my riding mower listening to the police and, you know, getting my rocker ready on the front porch.
The That's police, th- like Sting the police or just a police scanner?
No. Yeah, because that's of interest. No, the police, Sting police. That's my go-to riding mower in my head while I'm riding. And
I got it.
I could put Synchronicity 2 on, repeat, and play it for 10 years, and I'd be fine.
It's pretty good. I mean, you've got the barn, too, that you can just hang out in.
Yeah, the barn is so...
I don't think it's coincidence that the barn finished up. And and then...
Oh, you got that, did you? You mean, once it really started coming into reality and the simulator got here and I saw it, I went, okay, I'm done with everything else.
I don't have time for anything else.
Pretty much. Darren, Chris, see ya.
Exactly. Let's jump into something real quick, though, because I want to take issue with something that you said. This is the last time, and it may not be the last time. We're more taking an extended hiatus that may become permanent, not from each other.
Definitely not that. We know that.
But there will be some other content coming, most likely.
Yeah.
In fact, there will be one more episode after this of Talking Golf Getaways that we've had in the can for a while about Cabot in Nova Scotia and a trip Eric Hart and I took up there. And so as that gets a little closer to Cabot opening
their season. We will we'll post that one. Also, Golf News Net is launching this iHeartRadio channel, hopefully here in April. And it will afford us all a lot of opportunities to kind of do some more quick hit golf travel stuff and talk about golf in general and pretty much anything we want to during the live broadcasts that come with the iHeartRadio channel. So it's not like we're going away. We're all going to have a good cry about not doing this anymore, I'm sure, at some point on this podcast. But
speak for yourself.
We're definitely not disappearing from the scene. It's just a matter of, I mean, we've all gotten really, really busy and, you know, in different ways. And so, you know, you at the barn, me at Rams Hill, where things just keep growing and growing. And hopefully there's going to be more golf and more lodging and more stuff for me to do. And like you said, with Chris and his, you know, 500 podcasts that he does, which will all be part of the iHeartRadio channel too. And, you know, there's a lot happening. So we're not breaking up. As I said off mic a little while ago, this is not like the Beatles all going their separate ways.
Careful.
Although, if it were, Chris would be Yoko.
You just had to, didn't you?
That's so hurtful. I don't know why you want to hurt me that way.
And worse than that, whoever thought we'd be mentioning Yoko on this last episode of Talking Golf Getaways? How did she worm?
That's what's beautiful.
You know what? She worms her way into everything.
That's right.
Pisses me off.
That's what's beautiful. We're gonna mention a lot of things that we probably thought we would never mention on this because we have no idea where it's gonna go. You're drinking heavily already.
True.
I'm gonna be drinking. Chris has got his bougie water. I'm sure that he'll be sipping on from Chicago.
Chris, you should have an old fashioned in front of you. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're right.
You should.
Boy, that's a good idea.
It's just I don't know how I can penalize you, but I will somehow.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I told them before, I've got a full bottle, not for long, of the Clover Single Barrel Tennessee Straight Bourbon Whiskey with Bobby Jones on the label, 10-year-old, which is just a beautiful thing. And then I have a small bottle of Swedish Punch, which I told Darren is as close to Sœur de Loge, our favorite liqueur, if you will, as you can get. So I'm ready to go.
And speaking of Sœur de Loge, let's just kick this off because we have had to go to great lengths to get Sœur de Loge. If you've listened to the podcast, you know that this Canadian maple infused whiskey that I found in St. Andrews by the Sea, New Brunswick, was turned on to by some great people up there. And it has become an obsession for Mitch and I. I've had a caddy drive like 60 miles to go buy it when I've been at Cabot. Our friend Pete Flanagan used to have a connection down in Los Angeles where he could get it. And it just basically kind of disappeared. It was so hard to get. And I have found online a website, and I hope it's legitimate. I still haven't received it yet. They have my money. It is called Fruit Bat, FROOTBAT.com, and it is a spirits clearinghouse, basically. And it tells me that there is a FedEx package on its way to my house, delivered straight to my doorstep with a bottle of Sœur de Loge. So as soon as that happens, and I can confirm that it has happened, I will put it everywhere I can possibly put it on social media so that everybody who wants to try Sœur de Loge can, you know, reach into their deep, deep wallets and get a bottle.
Yeah, for $850 a bottle, I think it's a steal.
It was not quite that much, but it will be a healthy bottle.
It comes with Canadian citizenship. So I'm willing to go there.
Which we could all use now. Yeah,
definitely. There's not even a question. Well, that's good news. So you're right, Darren. This is just our kind of homage to the thrill that has been up to now, Talking Golf Getaways. And for me, I might add, Golf Connections before that and Hooked on Hickories before that. Because in my podcasting life, it's been 180-something here and a couple hundred Golf Connections and a couple hundred, about 100 Hooked on Hickories. So it's been a long time at the mic.
You are a monster.
My mic is looking at me now and going, please. Please be done. please be done. So it'll be a little less frequent. That's really what you were trying to say, Darren. There won't be a regular Talking Golf Getaways anymore, though there will be other connections that we all make to everybody. So bravo. Yes. Let's get going. I
told somebody today that I think that what is going to happen with you, I mean, Chris and I, as you mentioned, you know, we have empires to run. Mm-hmm. But as you, you know, for lack of a better term, round third and head toward home.
Okay, I was thinking more like between second and third, but fuck you.
Now that you have the barn yeah. and you are basically plugged in, I imagine that you eventually will just be like completely mind melded with the simulator in the barn, kind of just existing in the metaverse. You know, with Zuckerberg and the people from Facebook and just hitting golf shots nonstop into the beautiful screen.
Yeah, I you know, a lot of times I'd say, oh, come on, but I think you're right. I mean, Ava, my wife, bless her dear heart for A, suggesting the barn, and B, for deciding that the half of the barn with the simulator, which is big. Yes. You know, it's 9 feet wide and 10 feet high, and you got to have enough room to swing a club and the projector overhead and all that stuff. She said if half of the space is going to be that simulator, the other half is going to be a chill hangout room, which she has decorated. And it is fantastic. It is so cool out there. And every time I open that door to the barn, we planted flowers outside yesterday. It's a great hang. So I'm with you, Darren. And the other part of it, the OptiShot 2 comes with, I think, 15 preloaded courses. And they're all different courses from around the world. None of them are actual golf courses. But you can buy actual golf courses, of course. It's a good business model. So we've been playing on courses that resemble the old course, that resemble Glen Abbey, that resemble Pebble, you know, those. Right. But what now that it's up and that space is defined, I am prepared to empty the friggin' bankroll to be able, because what I realized was I'm going to be playing courses all the time, like you said, but they're going to be, I can play Pebble, I can play the old course, I can play, there's just a list of them, you just have to pay for them. So
beautiful.
I can't wait
to see it. Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire.
Okay, wait. Drink is definitely happening.
That's right. Brian and I are headed to the Carolinas here in the middle of April, and we're going to come see the barn and just wreak all kinds of havoc.
You have no
idea. On it. You know, we may blow the roof off the joint, as they say.
Oh, yeah, because we're such party animals. there's already been one ball hit into the wall. Actually, there's been two hit into the wall by me. When we first put it up, I put a ball down and I was looking at the simulator and took a swing, much like Zach Johnson has done lately. But I actually took a full hard swing and the ball went, it wasn't a shank. It didn't hit the hosel. It hit the toe of the golf club and went into the wall and dented it. So we patched it over, repainted it. And then I did it again. And on that occasion, I have to admit that there had been some single malt and white Russians consumed. And luckily, it landed about 3 inches below the window, which had blinds. It would have been okay. So after it bounced, the next day I went back in with Ava. We were laughing about it. And I said to her, you know, it would be really funny. Let's just glue a ball there. So she laughed. And I came out the next day and she had. So there is literally a ball embedded in the wall of the barn. So it's been christened. Darren, it's ready for you and Brian. Chris, I really hope someday you can get here.
Yeah, for sure.
But we're going to have all kinds of fun in there. And speaking of all kinds of fun, let's just freewheel. The one thing I noticed, this process of trying to get to this particular episode has been going on, as you two may know, for a number of weeks now. Mm-hmm. And so along the way, I have looked at literally every episode that we've done and seen the people that we've talked to, the places we've talked about, and it is absolutely stunning. It is such a great list of what we've been able to do here. Chris, you've gotten kind of a taste of it since you joined us. But I kept looking at the list, and I still look at it and go, there's no way we could talk about all the fun we've had or all the people or all the places. So I just thought, what if we just go ahead and freewheel it and talk about some of our favorites, come up with some interesting stories, see what happens, hear from Chris about a few of the favorites that he's listened to, because I know since he's joined us, he's been blown away. Is it fair to say that, Chris?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I was a fan and a listener well before I suckered you guys into letting me be a part of it.
Tell us, I love the fact that you put up something that you had just started traveling when you were listening to the show. That kind of flipped me out, I have to admit. For some reason, I didn't think you were that recent a convert to the actual golf travel universe.
It's true, yeah. I took my first golf trip, and I think it was like 2017 or something. And at the time, I was contemplating getting into the podcast, the golf podcast thing. So I was bouncing ideas around inside my head, and I went on a golf trip, and it was amazing, and I loved it. And I thought, man, that's what I should do. I should do a golf travel podcast. Like, I don't know anyone who's doing that kind of stuff. even though I hadn't looked, but like, you know, whatever. And so then, you know, before, just like, you know, I guess everything I've done now, I would Google and say, well, let's see what's out there. And I came across you guys. And the first episode I listened to was episode 81 about Tobacco Road. And probably halfway through it, I was like, oh shit, these guys got this down. Like, I'm not going to try to do this. Like, there's no way. And from that point on, like, I listened to every episode.
Wow. I mean, and that then is the origin one, story of golf that, origin stories.
Basically, golf origin stories exist because you guys stole my idea that you've been doing for 5 years already.
Because we are too good.
Yeah, so that was that's how I found you guys, because I thought I had this really, really unique idea that in fact you guys had been killing it for, like you said, ever.
So you're saying that Darren and I can actually take credit for golf origin stories?
Sure, yeah, sure.
I think that's right up our alley.
You guys are co-creators. I'll share all the revenue.
I was gonna say check in the mail. Yeah, right. Okay,
right.
We can take credit for everything, Chris, all his success.
Cool.
Credit / blame, depending on who you ask.
Cool. Oh, yeah. No, it's credit, pal. Trust me. Well, since you mentioned it, I think kudos have to be paid to Tobacco Road, only because Darren and I love it so. It is so deep in our soul. We have talked on the show so many times about it. The chance to get to know Mark Stewart, it's fantastic human and owner. Human first, owner second. And that's been, Darren, I know you feel the same way. That's been one of the greatest things, as far as I'm concerned, about having this platform.
You know, so many people we've come across in doing this, and I never could have dreamed this when I got in the golf business. You know, before that, I worked in a newspaper business where I sat behind a desk and interacted with the same 10 people, you know, all the time on the news desk. And getting into this and meeting people, you meet amazing people, but I never thought I would find a friend like Mark. Right. And, you know, I talk to Mark all the time. I mean, we talk about stuff that doesn't have to do with golf. You know, we're texting each other, you know, asking questions. He's one of the true gentlemen in this game. And I couldn't be, you know, more grateful to have found him. And I still remember the day he reached out, just because we were spending a lot of time. I don't remember if it was on the podcast or just on social media talking about Tobacco Road and how much we loved Mike Strantz. And one day I got a phone call from a guy, and he was like, hey, so you guys really love Mike Strantz. I own Tobacco Road. And, you know, the rest, you know, is history, really. You know, going back there, Brian and I are going back next month. And when we come to see you, we're going to spend a couple days in the Stewart cabin. And I remember a day where Brian and I were down there, and Mark took us on a tour of the Stewart cabin when all it was used as a storage facility for hats and golf balls and excess stuff that they had for the golf shop. And we started talking with Mark about it and saying, you know what, if you could turn this into a lodging experience, it would be fantastic, right there on the 14th green. And Mark made it happen just amazingly. And it now has become, you know, one of the best places I know of to stay and play golf. Tobacco Road was already one of the best places I knew of to play golf. So,
Chris, did you see how Darren slipped in there that it was his idea to turn the Stewart cabin into a lodging?
It's really, is this a, just so like Darren been, takes credit for all
well,
things?
Well, I was going to say, it's been 5 minutes and he's already golf origin stories, the Stewart cabin. He's going to take credit for Ardglass, North Berwick. I'm telling you right now, that's going to happen. We just, as a side note, Darren, we stayed at the Stewart cabin last week. My wife and I and our two friends, Bob and Vicky from Michigan. And again, it did not have, I might add, the only thing missing was our friend Joe Sass ironing in the morning at the Stewart cabin. But other than that, it had pretty much all the greatness of playing the 14th hole at night by the light of cell phones, where I hit it to 5 feet. And all that other stuff. So now you, did I ever tell you, I don't know if I ever told you about the first time I met Mark Stewart. Here's a story.
Go ahead.
I used to do for years. I hosted a golf show on the Myrtle Beach Golf Channel, which went into all the hotels and literally for 15 years. And we shot it all the first couple of years. I would go to a course. I would play a par three. I would talk about the course. Then I would hit a shot. Blah, blah, blah. And it ran 24/7 in the hotels. So when it fast forward, the first time I go to Tobacco Road and I walk in the pro shop, Mark's there. And Mark looks at me and he goes, Mitch Lawrence. I said, yeah. And he goes, oh my God. And I said, okay, what? He said, do you know that my friends and I, wherever we play, whenever we get to a par three, we say to each other, what would Mitch hit? Because they had seen the show so many times in Myrtle Beach. Now, this was obviously unbeknownst to me. I had no idea. But from that moment on, and like you said, Darren, there is no better friend and no just greater person. And every time I talk to him or see him, or any interaction, it's reiterated. So, but we shouldn't turn this, although we could, into, you know, however long this is going to be, homage to Mark Stewart.
But we should turn it into.
I think it is a great place to start because it does represent the best of what the show to me has been about, which is an unbelievable place for us to love the game, to respect and appreciate great fun, adventure, architecture, friends. All the stuff we love about what Talking Golf Getaways has been about.
And a way to make connections. I mean, you called your previous show Golf Connections for a reason. And and there are so many almost random things that have happened to us. You know, when you're telling that story about Mark, I remember how the first time I met your wife, Ava, that I knew of Ava before. Obviously, she's a Hall of Fame pool player. But I was a massive fan of her TV show, Ball Breakers. And the first
time, I don't
know
if you ever told me that.
And the first time that I was that I met her in person, I believe we were at Caledonia. You know, I was starstruck. And maybe I was the only fan of that show. It didn't last very long.
No. It actually had a ton of fans.
Well, good, because really I loved it. I loved watching it. And so, you know, it was this cool thing. You know, we've told the story before of how you and I met, which is, you know, another, you know, crazy bit where I thought you were Matthew. For those who are listening for the first time, and I can't imagine that there would be anybody who would be listening for the first time, but Mitch has a twin brother who looks obviously exactly like him or pretty close. And so, you know, that we have these random connections that have brought us to this point, you know, 180 Talking Golf Getaways and 500 whatever podcasts that you've done total. And the one I think of all the podcasts, and we've already mentioned some guests. We mentioned Joe Sass. He's on an episode. Go back and look. Joe runs an event every May with a bunch of air traffic controllers down in Scottsdale. That was a fun episode. We mentioned Pete Flanagan. who turned us, not only turned us on, found Sortilage for us, but he is the reason. Pete Flanagan is the reason I have my job at Rams Hill. He's the guy who told me about Rams Hill and kept hammering me that, hey, you got to go see it. And I did. I fell in love with it like him. And now, you know, it's what I plan to do for, you know, the foreseeable future.
And we all got, and you and I got to experience, just to throw in, Goat Hill Park together.
Exactly. Pete came down and played Goat Hill Park with me and you and Ragsy.
Right.
And we had and a stripper from Las Vegas.
Yep.
Ex-stripper from Las
Somehow
Vegas.
I forgot you and Pete and Ragsy were there. I don't know why.
All I remember from that day at Goat Hill is that Ragsy just wanted to ride in the cart with the stripper and her boyfriend the whole time.
Oh, I got to wait. I'm going to pause. Remember, I know who you're going to mention about what you were going to.
Yes.
Because it does bring in, probably, if I had to pick five episodes, the one you're about to talk about is one of the top five. But that day at Goat Hill Park, again, was exactly what all of us are looking for. You and Peter and I get to Goat Hill. Ragsy's there. Dogs are there. Yippee, Skippy, let's go. They pair us with this couple. And we talked about this probably ad nauseum at the time, but it's worth going back if you haven't listened to the episode. And the guy looked just kind of, I don't know how you describe it. He just, let's say he didn't look like a golfer. He just Right. didn't look like a golfer. And she also didn't look like a golfer. And we were, the three of us were kind of going, okay, this will be fun. Whatever it is, because that's how you feel at Goat Hill.
And it turns out they weren't really golfers.
They weren't. But the thing was, we had such a great time.
Exactly.
And they had a great time.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway. Okay, so move on to the strange and beautiful connection of the story you were about to tell.
Well, I think the crazy randomness is all encapsulated by Adam Ralston. And we have a number of episodes where we've interviewed Adam Ralston, and you ran across, well, you say it, how did you run across Adam and the movie he was making in this incredible journey that he took? How did you find him? And then I'll talk about what the weird connection is.
I found him on Instagram. As you know, we're all, you know, a lot of us are social media whores, in terms of loving weird stuff and connections and all that. So I was looking, you know, scrolling around Instagram, doing whatever. And I came across this story about Adam Ralston and Ron Rutland, who was his partner in what is called The Longest Hole. And the very beginning of it was the preparation for it. And I was reading this stuff and going, you've got to be kidding me. This is so off the charts, nuts, and I just kept following it. And so at the beginning, they followed the preparation, and then it just grew from there. And I got in touch with Adam through that, just as a fan, just saying, I'm with you. You guys are doing the most amazing golf-related thing, and I still feel this way. I've told you this, Darren. I literally don't think anybody has done anything. There have been great things that people have done that involve playing 100 holes and going in. Nothing has come close, not even in the same universe, as two guys and a dog that they found along the way walking across Mongolia with Adam hitting a golf ball. Nothing comes close.
And so keeping score.
Yeah.
And according to the rules of golf.
Absolutely. And that's why every time I know you feel this way, Chris, too, and Darren and I, every time I do because of Adam and Ron. Every time I read something about it, somebody saying, do you play a ball out of a divot? Let me go, okay, let me clue you into what happened on this Mongolia trip where Adam hit shots from the sides of mountains, snow, rain. They walked across Mongolia and he hit a shot. He played across Mongolia. So I kind of go, I think you can deal with a divot. Yeah, Paul Casey, that was bad luck, you know, in a plugged little pitch mark. I get it. But for me, anyway, so that's how I got in touch with Adam, followed him. And then the first time we had him on, Darren, well, you should talk about your thing, because the first time we had him on was literally from the middle of Mongolia.
Yeah, it was amazing. And people should go listen to that. You know, but you, I don't remember if you called me or texted me or whatever, and you said, hey, I found this guy, Adam Ralston. He's doing this amazing thing. We should put him on the podcast. And you said, look him up. And I looked him up on Instagram, and I was like, oh, I'm already following this guy. And I started thinking about it. I was like, I wonder why I'm following him. And then I realized it all clicked together that I took a trip to Ireland with our friend Jason Deegan from Golf Advisor, who another former guest. We're just going to mention all the former guests.
Yeah. And when you say Jason and Deegs, I'm going to drink. Jason, drink.
Drink for Deegs. Yeah. Also on that trip was Ian Andrew, the golf architect, Canadian golf architect. And
who was also on our show.
And Robert Thompson, who is a Canadian golf journalist and also the guy behind the Dream Golf publication, that he's the one who publishes Dream Golf publication that encapsulates Bandon and Cabot and Sand Valley and all those places. So it's the four of us on this trip, and we're playing at Port Stewart in Northern Ireland. And a single catches us on maybe the fourth hole. And the guy comes along, and he's a former rugby player, and he's talking to us. And he's like, do you mind if I play along? Because there was really nowhere for him to go if he just raced through us. And we were having a good time talking to him in the brief time. And so we played the rest of the golf course with him until he had to jet out, I think, a couple of holes early to go do something. And that was Adam Ralston. So here, you know, all these many months later, you come up with, oh, this guy's doing this amazing thing. And I remembered at that point then that he had mentioned he was about to embark on this crazy thing. And it never even occurred to me. And so there's yet another just bizarro connection that how many times do we, you know, happen upon something and I'm like, oh, I know that guy from this, that, or the other thing. And this was probably the one thing that really just showed how golf in all its vast encapsulation of the world is really just a small community in some ways too.
It's a small community. And I also think, and I'm sure both of you agree with me, that anything will do this. People who are involved in anything with a passion, this will happen, because I believe it's the way the universe works. But there are no coincidences. These things somehow are swirling around and come together in ways where we look at them and then go, wow, how cool is that? That's yep. Literally how I look at it. So, and we've had a chance to do that a lot, which is great. I know, Chris, you have too. And the more you build your empire, I can say this as somebody looking down from a 72-year-old throne, the more you build your empire, the more aware you're going to become of it. And it's only going to get cooler and cooler. I mean, Darren, the places that we've gotten to share, you know, the first thing about Talking Golf Getaways was when you and I first talked about doing it, and we said, nobody, like Chris said, nobody's doing this.
Right.
Everybody travels to play golf. It's the one constant that golfers have. We travel different distances. Some people with their life and circumstances can only travel 20 miles to play a golf course. Some can afford to play anywhere in the world on a private jet and everything in between. But nobody was really doing it and concentrating on just that. That's how we got to actually doing it. The funniest part, Chris, and you'll love this, is when Darren and I first talked about it, our thing that we talked about doing was 5 episodes a week. We were going to do like 20 minutes.
We were going right. to record, you know, one, in record, one big block.
You're going to batch record? Sure.
But cut them up and do them in 15 to 20 minutes. Yeah. Crazy.
One a day. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. But the things that we've been able to do, given that as our, you know, foundational reason for Talking Golf Getaways, has been unbelievable. I'm going to just jump to, and I'm sure we're going to touch on other ones. There's no, as I said, there is no possible way to talk about all of our favorites. So I'm apologizing. you guys can jump in. I'm apologizing now for not mentioning certain places and trips or people or whatever. But when I looked at the list of things we've done during this tenure, on the top of the list, and there's others, but on the top of the list, Darren, was the trip that we got to take to the northern, to the Highlands in Scotland. To me, that was, when you talk about looking back and going, okay, what we got to experience for the first time, the people we were with, the place we were, as a golf getaway, that is and will always be at the top of my list, that particular trip.
It was an amazing all-star cast that since I'm taking credit for everything, I'll take credit for that as well, putting that trip together. Jesus.
Chris, can you mute his mic? Is it possible to mute his mic?
Darren takes credit for something. Drink.
Okay, wait. Hold it.
But it was an amazing thing because you and I were at the PGA show and we interviewed, I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he was one of the big wigs in Visit Scotland.
David Connor.
No, this was David Connor's boss.
Oh, Alan Grant.
No, it was Alan Grant's boss. It was like the CEO. Okay.
I've gone as high as I can remember.
Yeah, I can't remember what the gentleman's name was, but we had a little thing that we recorded with him. And we started talking about the idea of doing a trip like this with the help of David Connor, who you mentioned.
Right.
And
who is on the show.
Who's been on the show. And that we said, look, what we want to do here is we want to go places that everybody doesn't go. I know I had already been to Scotland once. Mitch has been there a number of times. We love St. Andrews. We love all the different things that we could possibly do at the big name courses. You know, I had been to King's Barnes before. You know, I'd been to Muirfield and had, you know, the famous lunch. And so we had all these experiences. So we're like, well, let's put a group together and let's go play some things that maybe don't get as much recognition. And the idea was, let's go to the north of Scotland. We'll go through the Highlands, but we'll play Tain and Merker and Fraserburgh and Newborough-on-Eithen. And then we'll go see Castle Stewart, which was a big name. And we'll still go do Dornoch, but we'll show that you can put together a type of trip that doesn't just have to be all the heavy hitters, and that the golf will be so much more magical if you seek out, you know, Brora and Nairn and these wonderful places. And so, you know, that's kind of what we did. And we put together an all-star cast. Like I said, Shane Bacon, who was a blogger, I think, at the time, is now, you know, went to Fox Sports and is now on Golf Channel.
He's now every Shane day. Bacon.
He is now Shane Bacon. Yeah, I'll tell you Shane what, Bacon. Here's, it will never get, it'll never not be weird for me. The other day, I'm here in town, I go play at River Lakes Ranch and I go in the clubhouse to get a soda. And, you know, they've got big TVs in the restaurant.
And Shane's and there.
Shane's giant face is on the screen talking. And I'm like, I turned to the guys I was playing with. I said, that will never not be weird because, you know, I've traveled almost around the world with Shane when you think about it, because the trip that Chris has got a trip coming to the Dominican Republic. We were talking about it. And when I made my trip to the DR, Shane was on that trip. He went on this with us. He's been a number of other places that traveled with me and with us. Went out to see Brian when Brian did his thing at St. George. So Shane was on the trip. Our good friend Tom Mackin, who is just a master of all skills.
Who we thank for Brora.
Absolutely. We would never
put Brora on. Wouldn't have been there.
Exactly. So Tom Mackin was great. Jason Deegan, drink. You know, we've talked about him.
Okay, boys. Careful.
We obviously had me, you, Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire.
Oh, drink, God. Drink. Another one? Okay, wait.
Eric was also, Eric Hart was on the trip that we mentioned. And just, you know, maybe the most memorable character of the trip was Eric's bloody nose.
attained.
Just attained and then lasted all the way through, so much so that our bus driver, when Eric and I had the chance to play the old course at St. Andrews on the very final round, Shane was playing with some friends ahead of us and we were going to try to get on. The bus driver didn't want Eric to play because he felt like he needed to take him to the emergency room for his bloody nose. And Eric just stuffed stuff up his, you know, some cloth up his nose and played the old course.
Wait, he didn't stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, he played the old course and had one of his best rounds of golf he's ever had. And it was, you know, hilarious. Yeah,
that wasn't his... Talking about the old course, at Tain, yeah, which was the majority of the bloodletting right, in Scotland, I'm playing with Eric and Shane, and I can't remember who else was in the foursome. And on one tee, Eric hits a shot, walks a little bit, and then lays down. And I turn around, and Eric's on the ground. And I'm going, are you okay? And he goes, yeah, just my nose started bleeding. And when I say bleeding, I'm talking about like full bore gush blood. So he lies on the ground for a while, and then he gets up, and we have nothing. We have nothing to put up there except the golf towel on my bag from the old course, which I said, for you, pal, you are the warrior. You are Braveheart in this movie. So I took a knife that we had, a little one, and I cut off a piece of the old course towel. And we stuffed it up Eric's nose.
Beautiful.
And man. I still, that picture of Eric smiling with the old course thing up his nose and blood on his lips is one of my favorite golf pictures that I have. I look at it all the time and just start laughing. It was great.
That is why we play the game.
That's exactly, to bleed at Tain.
We will not be deterred.
We bleed at Tain. That's the title of my book. I just decided.
Was there an eighth person on that trip? I feel like I'm leaving somebody out, but I don't. Maybe I'm not.
Oh boy, you're asking the wrong person after 12 hits.
No, I guess
Bobby Jones bourbon.
It must have been seven of us because we had Colin, our bus driver, Colin Harris, played with us a number of times on the trip as well. And also,
I'm glad you mentioned Colin because he was another of the connections. He and his son David.
Yes.
Another of the connections, it turned out, quick story, we're driving around with Colin driving us, who's this wonderful gentleman. Pick every superlative of somebody you want shepherding you around the Highlands of Scotland. And we're just assuming at a certain point, Darren, right, at the beginning that Colin is just Colin. And he's driving us around, and then I think it was me, but it could have been somebody else sitting up front in the well of the door, talking to him, and just about him. And he says, "Well, yeah, I play, and yes, well, mostly at Royal Aberdeen," which for those of you, who, just look it up. And then he goes, "Yes, I'm a former captain of Royal Aberdeen." At which point he opened the door and I fell out backwards, and that's a whole other story. But that was who shepherded us the whole trip.
Royal Aberdeen was the one course we didn't play in that.
Right. He talked about the fact that it was at that point, it was impossible for us to get on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, talked about him on the show a lot too, and he's worthy of sending our love to because he was off the charts great.
Yeah, and that trip was fantastic, and we can't thank all the guys enough who went on the trip with us. Everything they did for Visit Scotland, we particularly can't thank David Connor enough. We ran into Rue McDonald when we were there with his dog. I think when we were at Newborough and Ithen, and Rue has gone on to huge giant things working with the European Tour.
Let's pause for a second, yes, as we will for the next 6 hours. Cruden Bay, which was the first stop for us. We all flew in, get in the Collins thing, go up. And the first place we went to was Cruden Bay. And literally, as Darren said, I'd been to Scotland a number of times, I'd played Nairn before with my wife, one of the great experiences ever. But we pull into the parking lot at Cruden. And for those of you who have been there, you know what I'm talking about. For those who haven't, you have to experience Cruden Bay. But you pull up in the parking lot, you get out, and your vista is literally below you of all of Cruden Bay. You see what Lynxland Golf is all about. And then just went on to have one of the great, great days at one of my easily top 10 courses in the world, 14th Green, my favorite green in the world.
Is that favorite. The bathtub?
The bathtub green. There is no green that I love more than that.
The blind shot par three bathtub is one of the more creative things you'll find in golf. And, you know, that hole reminds me so much of, you know, we had Jim Hartzell on not long ago here in the podcast, and we're always talking about Danaverty, and that's the thing I most closely kind of think about when I think about that hole at Cruden Bay is just those holes that are in Scotland that are so creative and so different that you would never build here, you know, in a million years. And they're the ones that stick out in our minds, you know, make golf what it is. And so,
yeah, they are. All right. Let's get to Scotland. Obviously we love, hopefully we'll get back there, Darren. It is my dream. Okay. There's a bucket list that I have. As I get older, that's shrinking because I realize the reality of places I may not get to. But one of the bucket list stops, which I may get to this summer in August, I'm hoping, is still to play Musselburgh, North Berwick. If I get to Gullen and Dunbar, great. But Musselburgh and North Berwick, those are on my list right now. So,
well, Dunbar should be higher because it is fantastic, and the people are
higher than Musselburgh and North Berwick.
It should be right there with them.
It is.
Like if you go overseas and you don't play Dunbar when you play those other two,
Listen to me. Don't at me. That's there. That's there with it. Get off my back, man.
Don't at
Chris,
me.
Chris.
It wouldn't be a Talking Golf Getaways episode if you two didn't bicker a little bit.
Yeah, like, but can you see what I've been dealing with this for, forget 183 fucking episodes. This is what I deal with all the time. Okay.
That's the best.
All right. Let's, I just want to mention.
Wait a minute. We just have to take a moment and tip our hats to the fact that you just said, don't at me person in a live conversation.
I told you we're social media whores. If you don't know that term, then what are you even listening to us for? Sorry. I'm getting real, man. I'm deep into the Bobby Jones clover. I haven't even taken the top off the punch from Sweden.
Let's go as we talk about these things. I mean, the other just huge trip that we did, and we actually did this before Talking Golf Getaways, but we have been back in the era of Talking Golf Getaways.
Going to Cape Breton, aren't you?
Cape Breton is fantastic. And you and I have been there a number of times. Nova Scotia as a whole is fantastic.
Correct.
Eric and I were just there again. We're going to talk about another great golf course that we discovered courtesy of our friend Greg Crowder, and we're going to talk about Cabot and all those things. And you can listen to that episode. But there are some things that we did. We took an essential destinations trip. Me, you, Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire, drink.
God damn.
And our good friend Vic Williams, who I worked and published Golf Getaways magazine with. And
who we also had on the show numerous times. So
exactly. Most likely talking about trip he took to Scotland. We've had him on a number of things too.
Love you, Vic.
But we took this trip and the great Catherine McDonald, who worked for Cape Breton Island Tourism, took us everywhere on that initial trip and just helped us understand not only what the golf was like, but the people. We took a Zodiac and went whale watching, and we ate so much food and so much lobster.
Okay, I'm stopping you.
Yes.
Because in all of our travels, we've talked about the great people, some of them that we've met. I am spending a moment here with Catherine, née McDonald, now Catherine Snow.
Okay.
To give credit to her, because you were more familiar kind of with fam trips than I was when we went to Cape Breton Island.
Yes.
That was really one of the first big ones that I went to. She met us at the airport. I had no idea who she was. And within 5 minutes, and the first time she said, for fuck's sake, I knew I was in love with this woman.
Which is a phrase I've never used. I had never used before that, and now it has become part of my lexicon. And
Not only that.
Apologize to my mom and dad if they listen to this.
I am still very much in touch with Catherine. Always put FFS on anything I communicate to her. But apart from that, of being one of the most down-to-earth, real humans, fantastic people you will ever meet, she gave me a sense of really what a fam trip was about. We talk about fam being short for getting familiar to a place. That trip around Cape Breton, because it wasn't only about Cabot. I mean, we discovered Cabot, obviously, but it was the other places almost around the island that so blew us away, Darren. That lobster dinner with you and me and Vic and Brian, and I'm pretty sure Catherine was there.
Yes.
Is one of the great, if I had to pick the top five dinners of my 72 years, other than the high chair experience when my brother and I were a kid and threw food at each other. That dinner was, that lobster dinner is in the top five.
Oh, it was fantastic. Castle Rock Inn, bed and breakfast, which just has some amazing views. In fact, Eric and I drove by that place on a recent trip, and I was told him this whole story again. Them just dumping lobsters on the table, and I remember Vic
Chris,
and I just
they literally to, they literally walked out and dumped whole lobsters on the table.
Yeah, and when you were done with them, they brought more. If you know, plus we had mussels. You know, you started with mussels, and then you ate lobster, and it was just absolutely insane.
And just nothing, just a paper tablecloth on it. It was Dionysian. It was just, you could not. It was so decadent. It was amazing. Beautiful. It was beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, Catherine, we love you. You're a big part of why all this happened.
Yep, Catherine was amazing. You know, on that trip, we saw things. That was our first introduction to Stanley Thompson's great Highlands Lynx, which later on, you know, we had Ian Andrew on. He was the guy who restored Highlands Lynx to the glory that it is back to now. So there's another crazy connection in what we've done. But on a subsequent trip, you and I went, and when Cabot Cliffs opened, and played there. And we have an iconic picture that I think about. When I think about you, if you go before me, Mitch, and I don't think the odds are good that that's going to happen.
Not the way I'm consuming this Bobby Jones.
Well, I guess that's true. Right, but the picture in my mind of you when I think of you is sitting on that little recliner out on the bluff behind the 18th green at Cabot Cliffs. That was fantastic. But you and I discovered something on that round. And this, again, is just like with the Scotland trip. Finding these places that people don't know about. And we found a Stanley Thompson golf course that had a little resort with it, an old-style resort called Digby Pines was the golf course. Mm-hmm. And what a true, pure joy to play. Like when you and I, we got into it, you get to the second hole, which is this amazing par three with this rectangle green that is turned at an angle, and you're hitting from above and then over a pond. And we were like, why have we not heard about this place? And what we found out was it was probably the most untouched Stanley Thompson golf course in the world.
Right.
And we couldn't get enough over those 2 days that we were there. We stayed in that great little hotel, and it just kind of encapsulated. I remember it was Lobster Fest or Oktoberfest, or I don't remember what it was that they called it when we were there.
Right.
There was this festival going on in town, and you and I are just like watching people do lobster pot tying competitions and buying food at these little, you know, stands that are out there. And
taking pictures of you with a lobster face.
That's right. You have a, what we learned the other day as we were going through photos that, I mean, you have that favorite one, but I have a whole collection of these photos that I have shot where my face is going through the cutout in these tourist Correct. Trap areas. And
Chris, we decided that when Darren's buried, his gravestone is going to have his actual head sticking through a little hole
That's right.
in the gravestone.
So anyway, that is, Cape Breton Island is another one of these places that I mean, deserves a shout out. And the people at Cabot have been fantastic to us over the years. And I can't say enough about that place. I hope I can go back, you know, every year, because now that it has even more and they've built the lighted short course and those things. But it's not just Cabot. Cape Breton Island itself is fantastic, as we said, and greater Nova Scotia. Fly into Halifax and just explore Nova Scotia, because it's truly an amazing part of the world. And I want everybody who can possibly get there to get up there.
Okay. I'm going to just mention some places. Right okay. now, we're not going to talk about them. I'm going to mention them, and then we're going to talk a little
do
more.
Do you want me to give you one word? We can do word association. Okay.
All right, great. But there's some you haven't played that I have. These are mine.
All right, go ahead.
All right, Champions Retreat.
Yes.
These are people and places we've talked about on the show. Cameron Wiebe, Champions Retreat. If you're going anywhere near the Masters, get to Champions Retreat. It's where they play the first part of the Augusta National Women's Amateur.
Yes.
Champions Retreat. You have a word? You don't?
I don't
How
have a
about
word.
Probably wishful. Belvedere Golf Club in Michigan.
Oh, God. That sounds so good. That's my word. My word, word is, I wish I could go.
You walk into the locker room, old, iconic, and you look down the row of little metal lockers, like when you're in high school, and you see the name Tom Watson. That's how good Belvedere is. I played there in the U.S. Hickory Open. We did a show about it. Great. Okay. We talked about Goat Hill Park. I don't think we need to talk about Goat Hill a lot, although a template, a model for what public golf courses can be.
Yes.
And we talked a lot about it. Same with Winter Park.
Also, the one thing else about Goat Hill Park is we don't have to talk about it much anymore, because now that the fire pit offices with Janella and Matt Janella and Patrick Koenig and all those people are like literally just what feels like a few blocks away from there.
It's a driver and a wedge. It's a driver and a wedge.
Exactly.
You, not for me.
Well, no, but I mean that
it's a driver and a wedge.
Those guys are just hammering away on it in social media, and they should. I mean, it's their home course, basically. And, you know, you talk about a place that is just – that and Sweetens Cove probably have gotten more media attention just by people doing the right thing, them doing the right thing, and then people recognizing it and helping amplify it than probably any two courses I can think of anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Goat Hill, I was going to say Winter Park 9 because we had Keith Reb on, one of the really, really great people in the game, who's, I think, changing the game along with Riley Johns. Keith down at Cabot St. Lucia now, and he's been there for months, creating a place that all of us are going to want to go. I'm just mentioning places. The Loop.
And we talked with Keith about St. Lucia, and just as a side note, to turn this back about me, because that's, you know, what we want to do.
Mute him, Chris.
I got the approval from my wife the other day. I said, look, in 2023, we're going to go to St. Lucia. And she said, where's St. Lucia? And I said, I don't know. It's somewhere out in the ocean, but that's where we're going to go on our trip in 2023. And she
and
said,
what did
absolutely.
I say to you? And what
in.
Did I say to you?
You when said you and Ava it. Want to come along as well. But you know what? You go traveling with Bob and Vicky all the time and you don't invite me. So I don't know if I should take you to St. Lucia. Maybe you should go with Bob and Vicky, Mitch.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Maybe you should start a podcast with Bob and Vicky.
Are you kidding? Oh, my God. All right, Chris. You are now the official arbiter of the Darren Bunch, Mitch Large divorce.
Right. And by the way, we shouldn't forget that Keith Reb episode was one of my favorites about Cabot St. Lucia, because we got to nerd out on Chicago house music.
Oh, okay, wait. We were going to just kind of go to you and say, okay, Chris, what are you? But go. I want to hear this because I love this about this episode.
I did not even know what Chicago house music was until that episode.
I didn't even know there were houses in Chicago.
Right. Yeah, it was just he spent some time in Chicago, and he was a big house music fan, and we just bonded over, you know, house music and the clubs, because he went to a lot of the clubs that were like that are still in my neighborhood.
That's beautiful.
It's the best. It's one of those things, you know, I think too, I didn't want to interrupt you guys because I didn't want to catch the wrath, you know, of the two of you. But I think something that just needs to be called out as a fan of the show and a longtime listener of the show is a lot of these golf courses that are now Gold Hill Park being one of them, Tobacco Road, you know, a lot of these golf courses are kind of mainstream now. But you guys, I mean, you had people on the show about these golf courses. You guys had experience. You guys had introduced a lot of us to these courses well before they became kind of the darlings of the golf course architecture world or of, you know, social media. I mean, you guys were far ahead in a lot of these, you know, with a lot of these places.
Are you saying I can take credit for the success of all those golf courses too? Just in keeping with our general theme.
It's a lot of drinking.
You fucking ruined such a beautiful moment right there.
I would say you guys are more like, you're like the older brothers that introduce, you know, their younger siblings to really good bands and good music. And then like 5 years later, everyone knows and you're like, well, yeah, but I knew about them when, you know, you're like the golf course hipsters.
You're really. Right, Chris. And forget whatever Darren is from here on out.
Okay. It's time for us to start a new podcast called Golf Course Hipsters.
Great. Oh boy. See, right, I'm up for that. I don't know.
Mitch, what else you got? Name a couple more of these, and then I'm going to take us in a new direction.
Okay. I would like one of the places I want to mention, and I want to get in our friend Kevin Frisch, who's one of the great PR and marketing people, who's responsible for a lot of people discovering the great courses of Michigan, near to you, Chris, and was responsible for me getting to experience the Boyne courses. That list is too long to mention. Every course I loved. But the one that really was another example of what Talking Golf Getaway is about to me in my heart is places that we never knew about, that we never experienced, that people wouldn't know about, was Wawashkamo. It was an unbelievable 9-hole course. Just built by Alex Smith in the 1890s, Hickory Place, and a place that when you go to Mackinac Island in Michigan, you go to the Grand Hotel, fabulous, people know about it, but then you get on a horse-driven cart and drive, you go half a mile through the forest to this 9-hole golf course, which is literally untouched from the 1890s. It's in great shape, obviously, now, but it's untouched. And you can, that was one of the days with, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to say this, Darren.
What?
With my friend Bob. Okay.
Damn it, Bob and Vicky.
Anyway, well, Vicky wasn't there. But Bob and I went, and I said, if anybody loves the purity of the game, this is a place you have to go. This is as big a place as the old courses, this is a touchstone of golf. Because it was here when nobody was playing you take a horse-drawn carriage to get there. And here it is. It's 9 holes. That Alex Smith, you know, an open championship champion, designed in the United States. And that, to me, just shout out to Kevin, to Boyne Golf, to Wawashkamo, to the great state of Michigan, I guess. Blown away by golf in Michigan.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to be. Even though you went with Bob, I will allow that answer.
Yeah. But you, I have to say, Bob loved it, but you would totally flip at this place because he's not a Hickory player.
I need to just go play Belvedere and Wawashkamo, and I wouldn't have to do anything else. And then you could go with me, and we could go up to, I don't know why I blanked out, North Point, our friend Chris McCann up there who runs North Point. Let's talk a little bit since we've woken Chris up. French Lick is another example of these things. And we went to French Lick on this trip. Ryan Ballingy put together and we played with some people who came along. And it was the first time that me, you, and Chris had all been together in the same place, tempting the time
space continuum.
That's what I was looking for. Chris, talk a little bit about the Valley Nine, because I mean the Dye course is fantastic and huge, and the Ross course is historic, but the Valley Nine, just, we had such an amazing time, and you even, you know, such an amazing time that you went back and played it again. You know, talk about that, because it's, again, it's those little things at even big mega resorts that you find and think, this is just so cool.
Yep. It's really funny. Whenever I tell anyone about that trip, I end the story with the Valley Nine,
nice.
You know, talking about that nine hole course and how just, it's so great. It's just, it's hard to describe because it's got that sort of, it's a kind of homegrown sort of local place. It's kind of tucked away, even though you can walk there from the resort, basically. But it's where the locals play. They have, you know, like, remember when I was walking off the course after playing it a second time, just a billion kids, you know, were on the course, walking it and playing. It's just a place where they can kind of hang out. And it's just felt, it's walkable and it's relatively flat and nice, but there's still bridges and there's still like decision-making shots you have to make, and you can play it. You know, I think we, I can't remember if we all played from the same tees or not. But you can play it with hickories.
Yeah, I think we did too.
Yeah. You can play it with hickories or you can play it, you know, with modern equipment and it doesn't matter. It was just a really good nine hole course. That was like, it felt like you were playing a secret. You know, exactly. it felt like you were with the locals there. You knew something that all the tourists didn't know, and it made you feel like you were part of that town. The other story I tell from that trip, you remember going to the Larry Bird Bar?
That's right.
I mean, that was insane. Yeah. I can't remember his name now. I'm drawing a blank. From him forcing the bar to reopen. First of all,
Brendan Sweeney.
That's right. From him getting us in there in the first place. And then them, you know, for those that don't know, there's a bar in French Lick where Larry Bird is from, Brick 33, I think it's called.
Yep.
It's got all of his trophies, his USA jacket from the Olympics. It's got everything from high school through professional. It's got all these different trophies, gold medals. They just open up the cases and say, have at it. So we've got Mitch wearing the Olympics jacket with the MVP trophy. It was just one of those experiences on a golf trip, nothing to do with golf, but man, I'll never forget it. It's just,
I've tried
incredible.
To use that here at home with my wife. Whenever she says to do something, I say, excuse me, I held Larry Bird's MVP trophy. Right. I don't think I have to take the garbage out now. I want to add something to the Valley experience, because you just said such in passing, which is so Chris McEwen-esque. You just said something that is at the heart of, oh shit, I'm getting what? Emotional now. You said something that's at the heart of all this, which is, it felt like you were playing a secret.
Yeah.
And to me, that experience, along with all these others we've talked about in a lot of cases, is what it's about. That's what it's about. It's like connecting to something that I don't know. It's I don't want to use this word because you guys are just going to go, okay, you're getting drunk now. But it's there's something incredibly, incredibly, and this is how I felt that day with you too, both of you, that it was a spiritual walk. It was all that. It was secret. It was spiritual. There was laughter and friendship and fun and all the shit that we but that's Chris's secret.
Kind of comes with the territory, really.
If you love Chris, you love Pearl Jam. But that's really what it was about. That's really, you know, this whole thing that we keep talking about, going back to all these places and people that we talk about along the way of Talking Golf Getaways. I might remind people we're just a few guys talking about great times. That's what it's about to me. That day at the Valley of a 9-hole course, when the Dye course gets all the press, the Ross course, which I loved, gets more press, you know, than some people think. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Valley, which to me was the takeaway. Yep. The Valley was the takeaway.
Yeah, it really, and it's got its own history, right? It was the first course.
Yeah.
I think it was a Bendelow course,
it was.
Originally.
Yep.
It was the first course of the resort, and ultimately it used to be 18. They changed it to 9 so they could put in some of the stuff for the kids to be able to work the range and things like that. And yeah, kind of one of the themes I think of your show again is discovery.
Yeah.
Where you talk about these random things that either through people or places or whatever that are outside the golf, but you know, makes the entire experience, you know, memorable or spiritual.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Beautiful.
All right, Darren, you want to take it? Was that the different direction or are you
going somewhere else? We'll let you know. We'll let you capture, get yourself together there. There's a shout out I want to give. We've given a few shout outs and, we've had architects on the show. You mentioned Keith Reb. We had Rob Collins from Sweetens Cove on. We did our big event at Sweetens Cove that, you know, we got a whole episode about that. Go listen to that one. Ian Andrew, who we mentioned.
Landman.
That's
land
right.
Man. I'm just subconsciously putting it into Rob's mind that we're coming there.
I noticed today, I was thinking today, and this is not about what I was about to say, but I was thinking about places you haven't been, Sand Valley being one of them, the Prairie Club being another. And it seems like the Prairie Club, Sand Hills, whatever the heck the other one is there that I can't remember for some reason. Prairie Club, and then Brian found another super cool place. And then he shot another place, and then Landman. There's going to be a lot of golf that we're going to need to take a trip to Nebraska, because Nebraska has been, it's one of my favorite states to play golf anyway, and it has so much more now. Anyway, what I was going to say though is we owe a debt of gratitude to David McClay Kidd, and probably the biggest, most high profile round of golf, specifically tied, I guess, to Talking Golf Getaways and what we've done with Golf Trip X, was me, you, and Brian playing in a match with David McClay Kidd, with you and Kidd both wearing kilts and Brian and I dressed up in other garb and having just a fantastic day. And David went out of his way to come. We took the full group up there. David went out of his way to come up, make the trip, come play with us, come talk and hold court at a dinner that will be one of the more memorable things I remember. But I want to go way back to the beginning, because it all almost went awry. One of the very first episodes I produced, long before we had somebody competent like Chris.
This is going to give me nightmares.
One of the first episodes I produced, when we decided we didn't need, you were doing Golf Connections and you had somebody else doing it. And I was like, oh, I can do that for you. And one of your first guests after I took over producing was David McClay Kidd. And you did a fantastic interview with him that had all this research, all the things that you are known for in doing these types of long form interviews. And at somehow I had a cold during the thing, and somehow I didn't realize that I had never shut off my mic. And the sound quality was god awful. Just terrible. You can hear me sniffling and sneezing and everything throughout it. So bad that we did a couple of different things to make it right. First of all, we transcribed the entire thing. It exists somewhere on the web. And we also went through where I had you re-record all the questions. And I cut it all back together. Wow. And it's still, you know, not particularly good. And the problem was that that I didn't know David at that time. And you got the feedback from him that was like, I'm really disappointed with the sound quality. And we thought, oh, that's the end of our David McClay Kid relationship, that I had completely botched it and you had to take the credit for it. And the fact that he gave us another chance later on to do another interview, and then we have become friends with him, you know, worked on a number of different things with him. Brian right now is going back and forth to a course in Utah that David is working on. You know, we've seen so many other things he's done. We're big champions of David McClay Kids, and he's been a big fan of ours. So, you know, I can't thank him enough for everything he's done. We've got a couple of really, really good things on Talking Golf Getaways. The Talking Yardage Guide, which is the only one I ever did really in full, where I talked with him about every hole and got his thoughts on it.
I'm going to stop you because you got to take some, I hate to give you credit. You know that. I hate to give you credit, but you should for that, because that's one of the great, if you're a golf fan and a golf nerd in terms of playing courses that you love and the architect that created them, that's one of the great things ever. That Talking Yardage book is off the charts fabulous.
And I still get the random person, you know, who's like, oh, hey, I listened to that on my way up to Gamble Sands and it made such a difference. And I think it was a very fun thing to do, and it took a ton of time of his time, but he has been so generous with what he's done for us in so many different ways. And even during at the beginning of the pandemic, I happened just randomly. Again, here's another connection. My wife and I took a trip up to Gamble Sands just to get away. And David was having a number of people, mostly bigwigs from other courses that he was working with. And he also invited my boss, Harry Turner at Rams Hill, to come up. And I just happened to be there at the same time. He was incredibly generous. He was like, oh, man, you need to join the group if you're here. And so, you know, I got to have a blast playing, you know, really the first golf that I'd played with Harry Turner, but also playing with David, playing with Nick Sean, who works for him. And so we love everything about McClay Kid, almost to the point of what we love about Strantz. But at the same time, really, Gamble Sands is one of those places that has just dug its way into my brain. It's a top fiver for me, I can't get enough of it. And now, you know, I can't believe, and you know, we took a trip up there to play the short course, Quicksands, and there's a great podcast that we did with David about Quicksands specifically. I can't recall. It seems like you and Chris weren't able to make it. When we did the trip to Quicksands, and that seems very disappointing.
Yeah, Chris and I had a wedding to go to. That's
right. I don't know anything about that.
Chris, yeah. Friggin' Chris, had to go to Hawaii or whatever.
I don't remember. Chris and I went on a bender somewhere.
Bob and Vicky and Chris's wife are all the people I hold grudges against.
Vicky was there, I think. But
today is the airing of all grievances.
I'll have to ask her. This is like a Netflix series now.
anyway.
I'm going to add to that the day with David playing Gamble Sands in kilts is, I don't know, I just quickly thought about this. In terms of actual golf with somebody who designed the course that you absolutely love, it's the greatest golf experience I've had. I tried to play the old course with old Tom, but I'm still working on that. But this was literally the, I mean, the kill thing was great, obviously. And you know, both of you, I've talked about it before. Kilt, wearing a kilt to play golf is the greatest way to play golf, period. There is no other way to play golf as far as I'm concerned. But getting to play Gamble Sands with David that day was, that's just it. I won't have a better experience, mostly because if I try to play a Fred Couples design golf course in a kilt with him in a kilt, it won't happen. But anyway, that and Gamble Sands, obviously, top of the list. I mean, that's about as good as it gets. If you can walk a golf course that you love, really love, not just go, yeah, this is cool, but I mean, really love at every level with the person who gave thousands and hundreds of thousands in the future, people that are going to get to play that golf course, that's about as good as it gets. I don't know how it gets better. I really don't.
Yeah, I can't argue against that. It was an unbelievably fun day that just will be up there.
I mean, Strands is gone. If you and I could corral Mike Strands, that would be up there as well.
Right.
Or Forrest Fesler, either one of those two.
Yeah.
But they're not. So, all right, let's move on because Chris is no doubt going, okay, excuse me, I have to watch a rerun of what?
Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek. Oh, yeah. Oh, you are so nice. Hey. You are.
That reminds me.
The quickness with which you replied, Chris, touched my heart, man.
That reminds me. Dawson's Creek is on. Why? I think it's on HBO Max right now. So people who want to go.
It's on Netflix for sure. I'm on season 6. Literally, I'm on season 6 right now.
Dawson. Oh, my God. Here I am watching Peaky Blinders, and you're watching Dawson's Creek.
I watched an episode the other night. I went back and watched the episode where you where you let Dawson into your film class. Oh, and but I had a question about the barn at the very beginning of this thing.
Have you guys rewatched the episode where I let oh shoot. This is too many drinks. where I reveal that there's no way that I'm actually going out.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Have you watched that lately?
I have not watched that lately, but I watched it live when it.
I think I told you guys this is a really. You know what? Who cares? Because if you're listening this long in, you're into this.
It's only been an hour 20.
When I had done, I don't know, 10 episodes of Dawson's Creek, and one day I get the next script, which they usually mail to you 2 or 3 weeks in advance. I get the script for the episode where I let on that I'm gay in the show.
Right.
And I read the script. I'm at home and I read the script and I turned to my wife and I said, fuck me. I said, not because I'm gay, but
not
because
there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
Well, this is a whole different direction, but my younger brother was gay. This wasn't the issue. The issue was that I had no idea as a character that I was gay for all this time, this entire time. And I
said, probably made you a better good, character.
Though. Right.
Really? Right. You think?
Wait.
Given that both of you are such expert actors, I may disagree with you here, but that as it may. But I had no idea. And I went literally the first day I got back to the set and I went to the producer, who was a friend of mine, and I said, you got to be kidding me. Really? It was mind-blowing to me that all of a sudden somebody decided that my character was gay. I said, did you not know this in the story arc? Is this not something you guys talked about? They went, they had no answer, which meant, no, we didn't think about it until just now.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know why
That's very funny.
We're talking about golf gutterways.
Anyway, here's my question about the barn. Can you watch movies on the screen?
Yes. One of the selling points of the particular system that we got was that we could watch that we bought the upgraded screen, which allows you to watch movies now.
Do you stream into it, or can you use DVDs? You put it,
I'm not that advanced into the system yet, but you can download movies onto your computer, which is where OptiShot runs, and then play them onto the screen, because just a projector onto the screen from there.
So theoretically,
HDMI thing. So I could, in theory.
I like where Darren's going here.
Yes, go ahead, Darren.
I'm on board, Darren. Theoretically, we could hit shots, drink whiskey, and watch Singenor all in one evening.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Yeah. I have to pour some more clover, which is now a third.
You'd have to do it up, Darren. You have to do like a whole watch party, like premiere.
This is
thing,
a
thing, you know.
I now have a third of the bottle gone. Just so you
and
know.
And then we could hit golf balls at the aliens if we wanted to.
Yeah, but you can't do it all at the same time, which is where I have an issue. See, if I'm building this system, I'm having picture in picture, six different screens, Singenor, my essential
Dawson's
golf,
Creek.
Dawson's Creek, essential golf destinations, Cabot, Cape Breton Island, YouTube video, Chris McEwen's golf origin story,
right.
Darren Bunch eating a yum yum in St. Andrews, and
Cop Rock.
Ooh.
Just the one episode on a loop.
Oh, my God, Chris.
Cop Rock? Were you in Cop Rock?
Are you kidding, Darren?
Yes, he was.
No, how do
with
I not?
His brother.
How do I not know you were in Cop Rock?
My brother and I did, I'm going to say, three episodes of Cop Rock.
Wow. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah.
See, this was informative.
So, on the esteem level, I just went up like six. Forget golf. Forget travel.
Right.
I just went up three levels on the Darren Bunch meter for Cop Rock.
That's
people are clicking off because they're going, Cop Rock? Okay, you got me. All right, let's get back to talking golf getaways.
Yeah, let's talk about the very beginning. Let's go back to the beginning, because you already mentioned that we were going to try to do this, you know, every day. And have an episode a day, which was
just,
now we look back at it and that's insane.
Yeah.
You know, because first of all, we can't stop talking, as somebody's going to find out. You know,
as I'm looking at the Clover single barrel Tennessee straight bourbon whiskey bottle, I want to just mention Bill Welter and Journeyman Distillery. Okay, go ahead.
Nice. Very well. Very good.
Good.
My clock says with the 126 mark right now. Probably the only guy who's still listening at this point is the guy who DM'd me the other day, wondering, you know, basically pleading with me to not stop talking golf getaways because he loves the podcast. His name is Garen Raleigh. I'm going to give him a shout out. Great guy. I follow him on Instagram, and you know, he wanted to know if we were breaking up the band and what was happening. And so I had to tell him, you know, what we were doing. But at this point, I mean, we'll go all the way to the beginning. The first guests we kind of had, I mean, we did some shows that were just me and you, and then we had Ryan Ballingy on, which made a ton of sense since we were working with Golf News Net and Golf Trip
and
X was
Eric,
part of
right?
that. We had Eric on, who is a friend. We've also had Brian and Vic on over the, but our first real guest, and this was kind of a big one, was Michael Kaiser Jr. And he came on for two episodes. We did an Emergency 9 with him. Was great. And the people in the Kaiser family and, you know, all the world solar system that they have in the world of golf, they loved it. I think they asked for a copy of it to like put in their family archives. And, you know, so I think that really is where, you know, we were still kind of finding our footing. I was still producing it, which was just, again, a problem. But, you know, it was incredibly generous of him to give us his time. And, you know, I think to me, that's one that stood out early that we were like, okay, this is, we can do something with this. And then we just had a list of all kinds of big names. And I want to read some of them to you. You give me one line about them. How about that, Mitch?
Okay, I'm here.
All right. We had Jason Connery on. Go.
Brilliant. Not just James Bond's son, directed Tommy's Honor. We talked his own family history, his love of the game, love of golf, with great stories about making the movie an epic golf time travel journey, especially for those of us who play hickories and revel in a truly historic story.
Yep. One other architect that we haven't mentioned earlier, Dan Hixon, good friend of mine now. Wasn't necessarily a good friend of mine. He was more of a good friend of yours when we first had him on the podcast.
Yep.
Give me your thoughts on Dan Hixon.
Well, one of my all-time favorites as a human first and as an architect second. And if you listen to the pods we did with him, you'll understand why. I first encountered Dan, Darren, you might remember, through a mutual friendship with Pacific Northwest sports psychologist Chuck Hogan, who's like Dan, a different kind of thinker. Then on our first trip to Bandon, you took us to Bandon Crossings, which wasn't on my radar, given my excitement to get to Bandon Dunes. I flipped over Crossings, you might remember. Creative, beautiful, challenging, fun, all the things Dan has represented and continues to represent on his growing and fabulous resume. A truly great guy.
Yeah, and what I was going to note about Bar Run is, you know, he came on, told us he was working on a project in Roseburg, Oregon, talked a little bit about it. And eventually, in another one of these crazy connections, I ended up working on that project for 7 months, driving back and forth to Roseburg. I'm not on it anymore, but I'm super excited. I'm going to go see it this summer. Just talked to the owners there. That they've got more holes open now and things are really progressing. It's fantastic and really became a friend of Dan's during that process and just a great guy. I can't wish him enough success. Just really, really want to see what he keeps doing because I think he's building fun, amazing golf courses that aren't big spotlight courses like we see. They're just everyday player golf courses where people go and have a good time and have fun. And I think it's, he's an amazing story that a lot of people don't know. So you should go back and listen to those podcasts. I think we've done three with Dan and his story of how he became, who he is today is an interesting one, to say the least. One more before I do one last one, Christian Hafer. We've had a lot of photographers on. We've had Patrick Koenig on. Obviously, our buddy Brian has been on. But Christian Hafer, you know, we had kind of you talk about spirituality. We had kind of a spiritual moment with him talking about some things. Give me your thoughts.
Well, I can't say enough about Christian and what a great podcast that was. Social media can be a rag of a place, as we know, for lack of a better way of putting it, if you let it. But the part I love is that you can discover people like Hafe, who you might not have ordinarily found. I started following him on Instagram because his perception of things that he related to golf through a lens was radically different. And the beauty of Instagram is that he was also able to articulate in words his feelings, his thoughts about the journey he was on, trying to build a career. Incredibly talented, yes, but open, honest, as is his wife, I might add, Lindsay, in her posts, her constant support of Hafe. He's now got real success shooting for Golfers Journal and other big accounts, but he's stayed the same great human. This is a wonderful family, and I am so glad we snagged him for a pod that people can listen to now.
Yeah, and I would say, too, Christian is kind of the soul of golf. You know, and we shared a moment. He has an iconic photo from Western Gales that I just absolutely love. And I had loved my experience out there. I had almost a spiritual experience out there when I was there playing by myself. And we were able to share that. So that is a great episode if you want to go back and listen to that.
Dee, I quickly want to mention a couple more creative and spiritual artists. We love that word right now. We've had on the podcast that people should revisit. through my great friend, Vanessa Price in California, who represents him. We got to talk to Mexican architect Augustine Augie Pisa, who's one of the most inspiring and talented humans on the planet. That episode really blew my mind. Augie talking about how he approaches each project, his connection to the land and the natural elements, his visions for alternative golf courses and places to play. Truly amazing. And he's now formed a partnership with Brandel Chamblee. They're doing tremendous work together already all over the world. The other is the pod we did with our friend Tim Allpaw, who's at Claret Dreamer on Instagram, a master carpenter and high-end house renovator by trade, which is what I love about his story. He is a great golfer, a fabulous human being, very given. He's another outside-the-box artist who makes hickory-based repair tools, bag stands, all great stuff. They're off the charts, beautiful and fun. It was a great episode with Tim.
One other one that I noticed on the list here that jumped out at me that we haven't talked about, and you forget about how many architects we really have talked to, but Keith Cutton has so many different threads that run through everything we love, having essentially lived on the property that Cabot Cliffs is now on. He's written a book that was just one of our favorite guests that we've had, and we had him on a couple times. And I met him for the first time in New Brunswick, the home of Sword of Lodge, as I like to think of it. But talk a little bit about Keith.
Keith is another multi-talented human, man. We talked architecture with him, yeah, but the revelation is in The Evolution of Golf Course Design, a stunning coffee table book that describes in fantastic words, exquisite pictures and diagrams, the history of design. That's not an easy thing to do. And the people who created the great courses of the world. Beautifully, beautifully written, an astonishing achievement. And Keith is a really great, great person to talk to about it all.
There are so many people that we could mention. I mean, this list is incredibly long, 180 of these or whatever. We have so many people, and Tony Deere, Lauren Rubenstein, Jay Revel. We talked about Keith Cutton just now. Jim Hartzell, we mentioned earlier. We've had so many different people on the show.
I also want to mention another great writer, Darren, Stephen Proctor, author of Monarch of the Green, about young Tom Morris, who joined us towards the end. One of our best podcasts, I thought, and most articulate golf historians is Stephen. He's a fascinating listen for those who might have missed it, for sure. And of course, I can't not say this. We ended our last interview pod with a trio of incredible guests. Fittingly, I think, Dad Kylie, son and daughter Blake, and Chloe, the Nakagawas, supported off mic by their mother Miho and their pup Lyman, a beautiful Hawaiian family with two superstars in waiting, the future of the game. Loved it.
Beautiful. Chris, what do you have? You got any other thoughts? Anything you want to jump in with? Anything that just we missed that you think, oh, this, we got to mention this?
No, not really. I think we actually, it's kind of funny. There was a lot of overlap. I had some notes too around some different episodes and things like that. I think, the Lee Abamani episode was one I'll never forget. just because he's a riot, and then I got to play golf with him, which is cool. Years later, basically, Mark the Caddy was really great. Again, not like these people that. Well, Mark the Caddy is obviously related to the golf world, but when you'd have something that I've tried to carry into Golf Origin Stories is these people that aren't necessarily known to the golf world, but you kind of bring them into our little golf world and introduce them to us, is something that I hope I can sort of take on and carry that torch on behalf of you guys. And I also put, it's kind of funny that we talked about McClay Kidd so much, because I said any episode with him or Tom Coyne were just top of the list, because yep. I could listen to those two talk all day about anything.
Tom is a fun conversation about anytime, anything. He can talk on a wide range of subjects. Mitch mentioned Bill Welter earlier. who I went to Australia with and met in another crazy connection, along with Craig Haltom, who's the guy who found Sand Valley's property for the Kaisers. That was another one. You know, there's just so many people, and I hope people will, you know, the beauty of these things living on Audio Boom and Apple Podcast and GolfTripX.com, which will exist for at least another year. It might get folded back under Golf Newsnet eventually. You know, people can go listen to those things. Malcolm Scoville from Imagine Golf was another one that kind of changed the way I think about putting. And, you know, we don't always have, you know, we've focused on travel, but I think our 100th episode, 100 and 101 was Matt Janella. Mitch and I just recently took a trip to the Fire Pit, world headquarters in Oceanside and got to see everything they're doing and talk with them. And, you know, that whole endeavor is just blowing up. But Matt said something that I think is the most important thing. I quote it all the time. I think it's the most important thing that's been said on 180 podcasts. And it was simply, I've never heard anybody walk off a golf course and say, oh, I made too many birdies today. And it reminds me all the time, and I tell it to people, that we get too caught up in playing golf courses from 7,200 yards and hard golf courses. And when it all boils down to just wanting to go out and hit good shots and have fun and score. And why do we make the game so much harder than it needs to be on our psyche, especially those of us who aren't playing it professionally? Go out and enjoy the day. And hopefully you're making birdies. Hopefully you put yourself in a position to make birdies and have memorable shots and just enjoy golf for all the things we've talked about for the last almost 2 hours, and stop making it so dang hard, I guess. That's my closing takeaway from everything we've done over these past 5 years, or I don't know, 5 years, 6 years. I don't know how long it's been. It feels like this podcast has been 5 years, but that's how I feel. So Mitch, give us a final closing. Take it away.
Wow. It's impossible to put into words what being able to do Talking Golf Getaways has meant to me. The chance to learn, to share amazing memories of trips taken with the greatest of friends, to meet new friends, to give voice to some of the most passionate, kind, and inspiring people you'll ever meet anywhere, and to have so much damn fun with Darren and then Chris along the way. The trips, the golf, the fun, the single malt, oh yes, and milkshake shots, they'll continue. I couldn't have dreamt 42 years ago when I started playing that I'd be able to live golf and to talk about it on air for so long. I'll be grateful until the day my wife spreads my ashes on a golf course as instructor. Darren, thanks for dreaming along with me, man. Chris, you make those dreams even better. Love you guys. And thanks, Tom Petty, for putting all of that into words and music. Peace out, brothers and sisters. For now, far and short. So long.